Is she fixing me a dish, getting me a cup of coffee, doing something, just a servant's heart. And those people down there in Colombia are going to be blessed to have you and Pastor Jorge. And I know you guys are going to do a mighty work, but we're going to miss you. So I would ask you to just extend your hand this way. I just want to pray a blessing over our sister. Father, reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit and let it rest upon Sister Elizabeth, Father, that, Lord, you've called her. I know she's going probably with mixed emotions, longing to be back on that mission field, but yet that there's that separation, that, you know, leaving loved ones behind and family behind and church and people that she's known for so many years. Father, but I know you've opened this door and they're walking through it, and you are going to use them to reach many lives, train up many people that will in turn touch and save many people and reach and touch their lives. So, Father, we're going to miss her, but, Father, we know we're releasing her into your hands and into your service to continue to be your servant. So bless her as she reunites with her husband. Father, give them a blessed time together. Give her safe passage down there, Lord. Protect them and use them mightily. And may she know how much we love her and how much we're going to miss her. Father, continue to use her in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to miss you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And I really have no other announcements except that I'm sure we probably have a cake in the cafe. Yesterday was my birthday. Okay. I finally turned 40, but I'm not going to let it bother me. So join us, you know, those who can, you know, stay, have a cup of coffee and a piece of cake afterwards in the cafe, okay? Praise God. I'm going to turn it over to Ron. I know the Lord, I'm sure, has placed something on his heart.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. I got like a one-man show over here. More and more wires. I said, I'm not taking them away. I keep adding more and more. I do have a word this morning. I feel the Lord's putting a couple things on my heart. So let me get this going on. So I do have scriptures for you. Hallelujah. You brought your Bible this morning. If not, you have your phone, which has Bibles on it now. You can do a lot of research and study. You could do full Bible studies on your phone with interlinear. What is the original Greek? What is the original Hebrew? I mean, there's so many things that you can do. So get in the Word. We're going to go over some scriptures today as well. If I could bring it up. The title for today's message is God's Secret to Satisfaction. We've got a world right now that is desperate to feel satisfied. They search, they look, they try to acquire, they try to gain, they try to do all these things to feel satisfied, but I'm telling you, there's only one thing that will satisfy you, and that is Jesus. That is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Mick Jagger, I think, said, I can't get no satisfaction. It's right, because you're looking in the wrong spot. God's got some secrets, but they're kind of strange secrets. And they're all, I'm going to make it real easy, just like I do all the time. I'm going to make it really easy for you to follow with me. And I'm going to use some S's that are secrets to satisfaction. So the first one, what we're going to talk about today, and it's a weird one. There we go. Become like a sheep. This is a foreign concept to people because they see sheep as very meek, weak, just kind of dumb animals. But there's so many scriptures, I can't even give them all today, of the scriptures that talk about becoming like a sheep. But the only reason we can become like a sheep is because we have a very good shepherd. And that shepherd really cares for us as metaphorical sheep. But when we become sheep, we realize that we can trust God and let Him shepherd us. We have provision, peace, and protection. How can you really be satisfied in life if you don't have provision? God is a provider. It's His name. He's Jehovah Jireh. It's His name literally means I will provide. And how can you have satisfaction in life if you don't have peace? I know a lot of rich, wealthy people who are constantly searching and constantly searching and constantly, but they have no peace. And you could get more, acquire more, fill up your bank account more, but you're not going to find that peace. So you're left unsatisfied. And protection. See, God, one of God's other names is El Shaddai. You hear that, you might have heard a song back from Amy Grant back in the day. What is El Shaddai? He is your, it's like a mother's breast that nourishes the baby. That baby is protected, has peace, has the provision that it needs. And God is our, it literally means like He is our satisfaction. He is. It's not what He does, it's who He is. He is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. So let's look at some Bible verses. This one, everybody knows. I think the Lord's Prayer and Psalms 23, we know this one. We've heard this one. We see it everywhere, right? I'll read it, and we'll go over this. I got it from the Christian Standard Bible this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. First of all, if He's your shepherd, that means I'm willing to be a sheep and let Him shepherd me. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Provision. The sheep relies on the shepherd to provide. Now, there's a message out there, and I mention it all the time. It's one of the things I talk about that literally talk against is that prosperity gospel, that I'm going to be rich and wealthy and it's all those things. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we've confused provision with prosperity in a way of worldly wealth. So if a person doesn't have worldly wealth, the prosperity gospel says they're not prospering or they don't have enough faith. But there's a difference between provision and prosperity. And we need to preach the provision gospel. I trust my shepherd. He leads me beside beautiful green pastures. Just like the geese who come to my front lawn every single day and have to eat my green lawn. I'm not your provider. Get out of here. My son the other day, he literally started a business. There's so many geese on our lush lawns in where I live, because we're by the water, that he started a business cleaning up goose poop. And he said, Dad, these geese, nothing I do stops them because it's their source of food. He goes, I get the hose and I spray them, and then they come and drink the water from the hose. Well, as sheep, God says, I'm not going to bring you to dry grass. Well, that's what I need to do. Turn my sprinklers off. Got it. Goose problem solved. No more provision. But God leads us. Think about this. As sheep, there's nothing better than beautiful, green, lush grass. He will provide. what you need. But you have to trust him. And a thing that we've got to evaluate are, am I acting more like a goat or a donkey or a mule? Or am I more like a sheep? And this is something that you're going to have to evaluate for yourself. He leads me beside quiet, still water. What's better than drinking as an animal? You got all this green pastures and you've got still waters to drink from. It's a peaceful provision. He renews my life. My life is literally renewed and restored in him. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake, because you know why? He says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not going to lead you astray. I'm not going to lead you stranded. I saw a video yesterday. It was a guy in a kayak. I don't know if any of you saw this. It was on the news. There was a guy in a kayak in the middle of the bay. And all of a sudden, he hears screaming. And there's a little kid, 6 years old, floating in the middle of the bay with the life jacket on. Did anybody see that? And the guy's rowing and rowing. Here's this kid just... And he said, I saw you were with your father. And then I saw your father left. And he stranded the kid in the middle of the bay. I don't know if he was on drugs. I don't know if he was drunk on alcohol, but who leaves a kid stranded? And this guy went and grabbed them and swam all the way back, and they started to protect them. But he doesn't leave, God does not leave us stranded. Sometimes we feel isolated. We got to remind ourselves of these verses. He does not strand me. He does not leave me. He will not forsake me. Now, sometimes we wander through dark valleys, because we're sheep, and sheep wander away from the green pasture, and they wander away from the still water, and they go through dark valleys. But the shepherd is going to find the sheep, hallelujah. He's not going to leave that sheep like the little boy in the bay. Even though when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. Shepherd's going to find me. I'm in a place I shouldn't be. This is a valley. How did I get here? The shepherd will find me. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this part. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is a bragging move by God. He says, I'm not going to take you and hide you away so your enemy can't. I'm going to actually set up a table for me and you, and we're going to sup together, and I'm going to laugh at the enemy because he thought he was going to harm you, but I'm your protection, and I'm going to brag about the fact that I've got you and you are with me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. I taught on this last year. I talked about the whole sheep illustration, that they put the oil on to protect from the bugs getting in the nostrils. They also put the oil on the head because sheep tend to bang heads together. And the oil kind of prevents some injury. I love this part. It says in the CSB, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Man, do we need to read that? Part of what I feel the Lord putting on my heart is we got to get back to being sheep. And stop being stubborn mules. And stop being the wild goats. and say, Lord, I come and I know you're going to be my provision. I know that you're going to be my protection. I know that you are my peace. It's in you. It's in you where I find peace. There's some other verses about shepherds. But when God is your shepherd, you have purpose. That's the word. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? Why am I here on this earth? God, why did you create me? What is my purpose? How many people are searching for purpose? How many people want to know their purpose and what's my destiny? Am I here just to live and die? That's it? Like the flowers and the grass? Well, Solomon, the wisest man ever, basically wrote most of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, had more wealth and more wisdom, the Bible says, than anyone. He sums it up. When God is your shepherd, you have purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11 through 13. The words of the wise are like cattle prods. They're painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. You know, sometimes God has got to use a nail-studded stick because we just are stuck. We're in a spot we're not supposed to be. We're not listening to the shepherd, but that is a good thing. They're painful but helpful. And Solomon says, but my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful. For writing books, they're going to be writing books for all time, he says. It's endless. And people are going to study, and they're going to study till they're worn out. That's the whole story. Now, here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. This is your purpose. Fear God, know God, obey God, glorify God, and you will find satisfaction like you can never imagine. Amen? God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. But obey him, fear him, be in him. There's an old song we used to sing. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. Come on, think about that. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my, it's who I am. My purpose is to know God, obey him, and glorify him. That's your purpose. I just told you, you could throw away all the self-help books and all the personal development podcasts. That's your purpose right there. Psalm 96, verse 6 through 8. There's a lot of obvious references to shepherding and sheep in Psalm because David was a shepherd. That's how what he was first. He was a worshiper and he was a shepherd. Before he slew the giant, before he became King David. So here's what he says. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. And it says right here after that, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. We've got a lot of stubborn mules out there. We've got a lot of people say, I'm just going to do it my way. I don't need the Bible. I don't need God's commands. We've progressed from this. Okay, but you're going to be left unsatisfied. No purpose. Seeking, wandering with no shepherd. He is the good shepherd. It says in Ezekiel 34:31, as for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Luke 12, verse 32 says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Multiple sheep are called a flock of sheep. If you want satisfaction, let the Lord be your shepherd. He's not going to lead you and throw you over the mountain. He's not going to leave you in the valley. This is a great one I've read this morning from Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. And we heard this. This is going to seem familiar. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. This is God himself saying, I will go search for the lost sheep. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. Jesus tells us that parable about the 100 sheep and one is lost. The 99 sheep, but one scattered away. He's going to seek for you. He's going to search for you. But you have to let him shepherd you. Amen? Continues, it says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. They will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and strong, aka the goats and the stubborn mules, he says, I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Part of sheepiness is being humble. We teach and the kids get ingrained and people get, I could do it. It's all about me. I got it figured out. You understand that you are a little sheep in the big pasture of things? That you are something created from the Creator. It's not your world and everything revolves around you, even though we think that many times. It's God's world, and why wouldn't we want to be plugged into the one who created it? Amen? Is somebody getting this? I want this to get deep in. We need to allow the Lord to shepherd us. Matthew 25, 32 through 34, Jesus says, this is very important. At the end times, when Jesus returns, it says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left, and the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's not just this life of peace, protection, and provision. It's not just in this life of satisfaction, yet he does those things. It's about the promise of being part of his kingdom that is an eternal kingdom. Amen? One of the other S's, besides being a sheep, in finding satisfaction is submitting and surrendering. The definition of submission says the action or fact, it's an action of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. We don't like to hear these words as human beings. Our nature as human beings is rebellion. We rebel against everything. Teenagers are famous for rebelling against why they don't even know why they're rebelling. They're just rebelling. We rebel against ourselves. Have you ever told yourself you have to do something? I really got to go do my taxes. And then there's an eternal, internal voice that argues with yourself and says, no, you don't. You don't have to do anything. I really got to get to the gym and no, you don't. Just stay on the couch. We are so rebellious, we rebel against ourselves. We don't even want to be told by ourselves what to do. That's why here's a little trick. Here's a little technique. Just say, I want to do my taxes. And then your brain goes, yeah, that's right. I want to do what I want. I want to lose weight. Yeah, that's right, because we want to do it. Don't tell me what to do. Come on, am I kidding, or is this the conversation in our brains? I get to go to the gym this morning. Ooh, that feels good. But we are rebellious creatures. We don't want to yield and give someone else authority over ourselves. What's that saying? You're not the boss of me. I don't know where that originated, but 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds know it. You're not the boss of me. And we still at whatever in our life say the same thing sometimes, right? Surrendering is the action of yielding one's person or giving up the possession of something, especially into the power of another. We've heard, and you've probably heard, if you haven't, I'm going to talk about it even more at the end, but making Jesus your Lord and Savior. And many, many people have made him Savior. I don't want to go to hell. Save me. But the Lord part is where we miss it for a lot of times. And the Lord part is, I am making you my master. I submit and I surrender to you. Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, not my kingdom, but your kingdom. We don't want to do this. It goes against our innate human nature. I'm not submitting. Don't tell me what to do. But it's the surrendering and submitting to God where you really find satisfaction. I don't have to figure it out. I was telling my uncle this morning about some confirmations God's given me about ministry. I have no idea how it's going to work out. I have no idea how things are going to unfold. But if he's guiding, he's going to provide, right? If he leads you, he's going to lead you to the proper. So you got to just trust him and say, well, I submit and I surrender, trying to have to figure it out. Some of you have got to learn to take that word, but how? And stop saying that. But how, God? I need to know how. The Lord showed me years and years ago, stop asking me how. Just like with Job. Where were you, Job, when I unrolled the planets? Where were you when I made the sea stop here? Where were you when I made the mountain? And he goes on this list and list and list of, he's saying, stop asking me how. You can't understand it anyway. Submit to me and surrender to me, which is trust. Trust me as the shepherd, because I am a good shepherd. Amen? Here's some Bible verses. Job 22, 21. He got it. And yet after Job got corrected by God, Job said, "You're right, I shouldn't ask that anymore." Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Told you, submission, being a sheep, also involves humbling yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I came out of the personal development world. I read more books, went to more seminars, spent more money on personal development than probably anybody you'll know. And at the end of it, I walked away from that. Because why? Because it taught me that I'm this person, that I could do all things, that I could put my mind to anything, and I could accomplish anything. And it was all about me. And you could be this little tiny man in this big world, thinking with all the confidence that you have, you're still a little tiny man in a big gigantic world which you have no control over. But take that little man and put him in the hand of a mighty God, and he submits and he surrenders to the hand of the mighty Lord, then he could do all things, because that's where his strength is coming from God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. He knows the right time. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. We always hear these Bible verses not 100% correct. We see it here. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's in your own strength. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You can't fight the devil. You can't fight the enemy. You can't fight that spiritual war by yourself. But with God you can. What happens when you don't submit? Well, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile. It's angry. It doesn't want to be told. It argues. It's rebellious. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. In this flesh, in this human nature, we have desires. We talked about rebellion. We have things that our flesh just wants. It just wants what it wants. And we've got to say, I've got to take what my desires are, and I've got to put them down, and I've got to submit them under the authority of God. Submit to God and be at peace with him. And this way, prosperity will come to you. Here's another one. So we got to become like sheep. We've got to submit to God. And this one right now I feel is the time for the church to get back to. Seeking after God. I've told this before, and I know I remember doing this to you, Mom. We used to go to JCPenney's. My aunt used to work at JCPenney's. My mom would be talking to my aunt, and me and my brothers would go hide under the clothing racks. Does anybody else have kids who have done this? And then all of a sudden, my mom, I hear her start calling our names. I know I've done this with my kids. Where are you? I'm not leaving till I find my kid. Seeking is that I am not leaving till I find God. I am not leaving. I am not leaving. That's the mentality we have to have. That's what seeking is. Like a heat-seeking missile. Back to those geese. My dog's part Labrador Retriever. My dog is just ready to go after those geese. That's how I clear them out of the grass, to be honest with you. I open the door and that, boom! It's got one mission. But we got to be like that with God. We got to move beyond Jesus as Savior, and we got to move to Jesus as Lord. And being Lord means I'm going to seek. It's an action. It's not passive. It's active. It's a verb. I've recommended this book 100 times. Go get it and read it. Tommy Tinney, God Chasers. God wants to be pursued, but he's not going to be evil and not let himself be found. He is God, the creator of all universe. He wants to be sought after. So let's look at this. Let's look at some verses here. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19. Now devote. Everybody say devote. That's pretty strong words. Devote. Now devote your heart and your soul to seeking the Lord your God. We've got Christians, for the majority of them, are not seeking God. They're caught up. They're distracted. The things of the flesh are starting to rise up. But we got to get back to seeking God. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always." King David was probably the best example that we have of someone who just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. He sought after the beauty of the Lord. There was the Ark of the Covenant, and he would just want to be with you, God. And he would cry out, "Come and go with me to my Father's house. There's joy there." We need to get back to seeking God. Sometimes we seek his hand. I want the hand. I want what comes out of the hand. Hey, God, give me your God credit card. I need some blessing. That's my son. I got this little app where he does allowance, and I could, on the app, give him some money, transfer him. And then at one point, it was like, "Hey, Dad, I need $5. Hey, Dad, I need $10. Hey, I said, "No. You get this amount for your allowance and that's it. Don't just seek my hand. Seek me." Seek his face always. And the Lord looks down from heaven and on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. What does seeking God look like? Number one, it's learning to be still. We are such anxious little creatures. We want to know checklists, and we want to know how everything's going to work out, and I need to have the plan. And sometimes we just need to say, "Be still and know that I am God." I know right now I'm in a transition, ministry-wise, career-wise. And I'm trusting. I don't have the answer. My wife said, "So what are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know. I'm going to trust God. What am I going to do? I don't have a plan because I'm an achiever, right? And I'm a goal-oriented person. And I want to go out there. I don't know right now." It's weird for her, for me to say that. I don't know, but I know what I have to do. I have to seek God. I'm going to go walk, which I do, and I go walk, and I'm praising the Lord. First thing, I'm entering his courts. With thanksgiving. I'm entering his gates with thanksgiving. I'm entering his courts with praise. I'm just sitting and being still and resting in him. Lord, I am going to relent, and I'm not going to give up till I find you. I pray my whole life, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me avalanches of wisdom. Give me abundance of wisdom. I need understanding and only your understanding. I need discernment, Father. And the Lord literally, I felt in my heart say, okay, now seek me. Not just the wisdom that comes from me. Seek me. You'll get the wisdom. Seek me, you'll get the answer. Seek me, you'll get the provision. Seek me, you'll get the direction. Seek me, you'll get on the right path. Seek me, and I'll order your steps. Seek me, and I'll lead you to the paths of righteousness. Seek me, and I'll lead you to the green pastures. Seek me, and I'll lead you to the calm, still waters. Seek me, and I'll lead you out of the valley. Seek me, and I'll set up a table in the presence of your enemies. Seek God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first have the faith, that's, I'm adding that part in, that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly, say earnestly. I bet earnestly is somewhat related to devote. Seeking is an action step, amen? Seek him and you will find. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. I think you too sang another song, because I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I have searched. I have climbed the highest mountains. I have climbed these city walls. They're seeking the wrong thing. Seek God, hallelujah. How many of you know this verse? Jeremiah 29:11. Again, it's one of the most quoted verses. It's a feel-good verse. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration, saith the Lord. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. But why don't we ever quote 12 and 13? You know, 11, this is 11. 12, which means it goes right after this. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Oh, I got to call to God and come and pray to him? You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Earnestly, with devotion. There's an if-then promise. We want the promise. We don't want the work. We want the promise, we want the blessings, but we don't want to have to do what we have to do to get the blessing. What about this verse? How many of you have heard this? This gets quoted a lot in the last couple years. Listen to me. Read this with me. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. How many have heard that? That's not the Bible verse. That's not what the Bible verse says. It says this. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, we don't just pray for our country and that's it? We got to read. No, it's a prayer, it's a seeking, and it's a turning. I mean, we did that thing with Jonathan Kahn, the return. That was amazing. And that was about repentance. Well, we got to still seek him. We still got to seek his face, not his blessing. We got to seek him, not just his protection. We got to seek his face, not just make this country right. We got to seek him. Not will give us a good president. We got to seek God. He said, and if you do these things, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. Seeking God. It's going to seem like nothing's happening. There's going to seem like, oh, all of a sudden, why am I doing this? But seek him and he will be found. Earnestly, with devotion, and with all your heart. Somebody once said to me, why do I got to seek God? This seems like a dumb game of hide and seek. Why can't he just be there all the time? Because he is God, the creator of all the universe. He is a holy and righteous and powerful God. And he wants to be sought after. Let me give you some ones. Here's another S. And this is one's going to step on some toes, and I don't mean to. But we have to become like sheep, trusting our shepherd. We have to seek the face of the Lord. And we have to turn from the pleasures of this flesh and turn from sin. Sin seems like it's going to satisfy you. But you can ask any person addicted to drugs, addicted to painkillers, addicted to alcohol, addicted to sex, addicted to pornography, are you satisfied? No, you're left wanting more. Left wanting more and more and more. We were talking about a family member the other day who's out there just asking everybody for money, and we all know that that person is dealing with a drug addiction because he can't get enough. Steal from the mom, steal from the family, steal from these people because he needs more and more and more. What he needs is Jesus. He will not leave you unsatisfied. Repent, therefore, and turn. There's a turning. Not just God forgive me. It's a turning. It's a moving from here to moving to here. Repent, therefore, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3:19. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. You're going to see a pattern here. Turn. Don't conceal. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly, say abundantly, pardon. Isaiah 55:7. I love this one. 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow. Some people say, yeah, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, sure. Where's Jesus? It's taking forever. He's saying, there's no God. Jesus ain't coming back. And then what it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some would count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Sin will not satisfy you. It'll leave you quenched. It'll leave you just, I need, you ever have that where you're out, you need to drink water for the whole day and all of a sudden you have a dry mouth? I need water. That's what sin's going to leave you as. There is no satisfaction. Yes, you haven't found what you're looking for because you're finding it in the wrong things. These might be strange secrets to satisfaction, but they are true secrets to satisfaction. And the final S is accept Christ as Savior and confess him as Lord. It says in the Bible, if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, okay, I believe that, and confess him as Lord, you shall be saved. We've all got a wage that has to be paid. You will never find satisfaction without Christ as Savior and Lord. Let God shepherd you. Seek God with all your heart. Turn from sin. And when you make that confession, understand what being Lord means. I've got my desires. I've got my flesh. I've got my things that I like to hold on to. I've got my plans, and I want to accomplish my things. I make you Lord. It says in the Bible that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But if you don't do it now, while you have the chance, if you don't do it now out of your own free will to confess Him as Lord, when you do it later, it'll be at the judgment seat, and there will not be a pass, go, get eternal life, have ultimate satisfaction. You won't get it, but you will confess it. We need to, as a church, get back to making Jesus Lord. But I want to do this. See, that's what little kids, they got to learn. You just can't do everything that you want to do. And they have temper tantrums. Well, we as adults have temper tantrums too. And we whine and we complain and we kick the ground and we get all worked up when we don't get it our way. But making Jesus as Lord means you say, I'm submitting, I'm surrendering, I'm trusting. You will provide. You will protect. And you will give me peace. I'm trusting that you are going to satisfy me like no other can. Mike, can you put something on? This should be an encouraging word, not a discouraging word. Because you want satisfaction. You want to be satisfied in your soul? This is how you do it. Nothing else is going to do it for you. Now, maybe you go back and look and say, well, there's some areas in my life that I really am not letting God be my shepherd. Maybe it's an attitude of revenge. And you're got it in you that you're going to get revenge for a situation or something that happened to you. So you're going to try to create your own table in front of your enemies. It's not going to be a pretty sight. And maybe you say, Lord, I'm going to let you handle that situation. Maybe you've been holding on to your own peace. What does that mean? We used to sing a song, victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. What does that mean, holding my peace? It means being willing to submit that you don't have to go make things happen. God, you're taking a little too long here. So I need to get involved. I know this looks like a closed door, but I really need to open this. Have you ever, like, a door was shutting, or maybe you had somebody in your front door and the door was shutting, and then all of a sudden they put their foot in it? And we're like the same way. Hold on, I just got to double check. Or God's opening a door and we go, no. Give me that door back. We should be praying, Lord, I don't want to be one step ahead of you. And I don't want to be one step behind you. Lord, I submit. I want to do this. Ooh, I have this desire. I need to go do it. I need to react this way. That's just how I am. God allows us to try to open the door sometimes for our own purpose of learning, don't open doors anymore. How many of you had taught your kids not to touch hot things by letting them experience a little bit of what it feels like to touch a hot thing? Okay, don't touch that anymore. You'll learn. But making him Lord says, I submit. I submit to a greater authority than myself. I surrender. When a person gets arrested or a person is being pursued by the cops, what do? Put your hands up. What does that mean? See, we got a world right now and a society right now that I don't have to put my hands up. No, you first got to surrender so I could go ahead and assess the situation. You've got us, but we are being taught that we don't have to surrender anymore as human beings. There's multiple verses about submitting to authority. But we're a rebellious people, so maybe it's the aspect of rebellion. Don't tell me you don't do it. We all do it. You don't even want to take out the garbage if you tell yourself you got to take out the garbage. But submitting to God is part of that confession and making him Lord and Savior. Just like Jonah had to learn to submit. Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. As a matter of fact, see you, God, I'm going the opposite way. God said, okay, but there's going to be a consequence. Let me give you a round two. You almost died. You got swallowed up by a whale. Now will you submit? I got it. Job did the same thing. Submission equals trust. And maybe you look back in your life and say, well, maybe there's some areas I'm just not submitting. I've heard it before. Well, there's just that little piece of me that I can't give to God. That's just my thing. Give up that thing. Some people are battling with smoking and they can't give it up. It's not that they can't, it's that they won't. It's just that little thing that I'm holding on to. And the third is turning from sin. I want you guys to stand. And I want you to reflect for yourself. And maybe you say there's no areas I need to work on. I'm a perfect little sheep, and that's okay. But I know God is calling the church right now. He's calling people. Say no more playtime. Things are heating up. Things are accelerating. Things are moving forward. He's got a plan that is unfolding. And part of that plan is involved. Get back to me, God says. Maybe it's you're just not seeking. A day goes by and you haven't been in his presence. 2 days go by, you're not praying. 3 days go by, you're not even aware of God's presence in your life. A week goes by, you haven't read the word. You're caught up in stress and anxiety and the busyness of the world. And then it's a month. And then it's months, then it's years. And your soul is just longing for something to satisfy you. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. There will be nothing that can satisfy you other than Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can fulfill you like making Jesus your Lord and Savior. I don't know where you're in. One, maybe it's you haven't been a good sheep. Two, maybe it's you're not submitting to God and seeking Him. Or maybe it's that there's a sin that you just keep not wanting to turn from. Or maybe it's you've never made Jesus your Savior. You never made Him your Lord. There's not a magic formula. There's not a magic to-do list. There's not a special order of things that you have to do to get to this point. All it is just a confession with your mouth. You know where you are at. And if you want to make that decision, there has to be a confession that Jesus is Lord. It says we're supposed to confess our sins to one another. Not now. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not looking to embarrass anybody. But I'm saying the time of decision is now. The time of decision is here. The time to really be satisfied and to be put in and plugged into God's plan is now. Because there's an enemy out there that wants to kill you, steal from you. He wants to steal everything you have and destroy you. He is not relenting. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Be encouraged. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. But it's only in Christ. Here's what I feel the Lord telling me. And this is the prayer. And if you want to make that change and you want to make that decision, you want to accept Christ, you want to be a good sheep and let Him be your shepherd, you're willing to submit and surrender so you can have satisfaction of your soul. Here's what we're going to do. Repeat after me. Our Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. In You I live. In You I move. In You I have my being. I don't want to do it my way anymore. But I want to do it Your way. Lord, help me to be a good sheep and to trust You. Lord, help me to submit. And right now I submit my will to You. I submit that rebellion to Your authority. I seek Your face. Not just an answered prayer, but Your face. I confess You as Lord. I confess You as my Master. I confess You as my Savior. I'm not waiting for the future to bow down to You. I bow before You now. I give You my all with devotion, with all of my heart. I give You my life. Take it, Lord. It's Yours. That should feel good because I feel good right now. I give You all my areas, Lord. I give You all the areas. I give You everything, Father. Make a joyful noise. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You for that word, Ron. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded. So often we need to be reminded. The Lord knew, and He still knows how forgetful we are. That's why even when we do communion, he says, do these things in remembrance of me. So often we forget. We forget the simple basics. And we need to seek him and long for him and just want him to truly be our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. I pray you take this message. Don't just leave here and say, hey, that was pretty good. That was a great message, you know. And then just forget about it. Maybe you need to listen. Go on Facebook. Go whatever. Go on Ron's website, you know. I'll have it on our website tomorrow. And maybe listen to it again. You might have to. Amen? So take it to heart. Apply it to your life. And all these things that he shared this morning will come to pass. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Join us in the cafe for some coffee and cake and just some fellowship. Amen? God bless.
After I have cake and bagels.